باسم الشعب العربي، باسم الشعب العربي.
أجيال يواعدها القدر ويختصها دون غيرها.
Since October 2007, Israel has maintained economic sanctions on Gaza, designed to keep Palestinian society on the brink of collapse. Last year, the Freedom Flotilla, a fleet of activists carrying humanitarian aid, attempted to defy Israel's siege of Gaza. The Mavi Marmara, a Turkish ship amongst the flotilla, was boarded by the Israeli Defense Forces, and 9 activists were killed. This year, a Canadian ship is joining the Freedom Flotilla too. Miles Howe is an activist and journalist with the Halifax Media Co-op. He will be sailing aboard the Canadian flagged ship, the Tahrir. We've reached Miles in Athens as the flotilla gathers and prepares to cross the Mediterranean. I started by asking him what the political climate is like in Greece, where a 48-hour general strike has just begun.
When we arrived, we came into a political scene that's really in a state of upheaval. Greece has been given a conditional $110 billion after another, I think, $110 billion by the International Monetary Fund. This comes in segments of money. And the latest, I think it's about $12 billion, comes with a whole bunch of austerity measures attached to it that the IMF is requesting or requiring of Greece in order to get the money. It's just a whole bunch more cuts to social services and privatization of all kinds of things. So the Greek people are extremely unhappy about that. What we see is, you know, if you go down to the streets, Syndagma Square, there's tens of thousands of people there every night just chanting at the parliament building that is adjoining that square, and just, you know, shining green laser pointers into the eyes of riot squads that are just everywhere. The tension is extremely high. Right now, within a 48-hour general strike across Greece, and it's caused rolling electrical blackouts in Athens. It's very questionable whether this government of George Papandreou is going to survive, or, you know, whether, because these austerity measures that they're bound to in order to get this money are extremely unpopular with the Greek people. It's reached the middle class. Like, I mean, these cuts are going straight to the middle class. There's not a lot more to cut here. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen. So this is the political climate that we just jumped into here. It's pretty incredible place to be.
What, in your mind, are some of the implications that the happenings in Greece can actually have on the flotilla's departure?
Well, I mean, what we've seen, there's international pressure coming down on Greece, largely from the Israelis, also backed by the states. The new interim president of the IMF is an American, Jim Lipsky. He was just put in when that whole Dominic Strauss-Kahn alleged rape of a hotel maid thing came through. So Lipsky's definitely got American interests in mind. And whether or not, you know, there's behind-the-scenes pressure that's attached to those austerity measures, we're not really privy to that information. What we do know is the Greek people are definitely showing some solidarity to their Mediterranean brothers and sisters in Palestine. They're in a tough spot, right? This isn't one of the richest countries in the world. This is definitely turning into a periphery state of the EU, almost a tourist colony, if you will. And so they don't have a really strong hand, but they've played it well. The Greek foreign minister is in a tough spot too. He's just inherited this dossier. Papandreou, the prime minister, just reshuffled his cabinet. So there's a new foreign minister. There's a new set of hands to shake for the Freedom Flotilla Steering Committee. That's the way things get done here in Greece. And the foreign minister has come out. They've issued a statement saying, you know, please don't go. We wouldn't like you to go. On the other hand, there hasn't been a heavy-fisted statement on down. So they're doing the best they can. They can't say, you know, have a nice trip, because the states and Israel do pack a punch economically as well as militarily, as we do know. So they can't flat out say, go ahead and go for it. But they're doing their best.
Why was the port of Athens chosen as a port of departure? Because of the support?
They've traditionally had a good relation with Israel. I know that they, you know, it hasn't been perfect, but ever since the last Freedom Flotilla, which was last year, Israel gave them a big slap in the face. There's still two Greek boats that are in Israel, owned by Greeks under Greek flag, that have not been given back. And I mean, added to that, there's the fact that Israel gave back the Mavi Marmara, which was the Turkish ship. So ever since then, there's been a political kind of souring on the streets. There's definitely there's a reason why the majority of these boats are leaving from Greece, because the feeling on the streets is very much pro-Palestine. Greece itself was chosen as a staging ground. Is, you know, it's a perfect place. There's thousands of kilometers of coast. The people are supportive. Last year, they were supportive as well. Last year, the Greeks allowed boats to leave from Greece. So, I mean, why not, really? It's a perfect fit.
What type of reception are you folks anticipating by the Israeli Defense Forces as you sit around in Greece, kind of preparing to go?
Well, let me just say that, I mean, prior to getting ready to go, there's been a lot of action here put forward by the IDF. I think there's the Israeli Law Center has lodged a complaint against the American boat, the Audacity of Hope. And what happened is that the Israeli Law Center, I believe they're called, lodged a complaint against the seaworthiness of their vessel. I think they found themselves a bit behind in the paperwork that needed to be shown. So they've actually held them up in courts. And I'm told that they will be back online quite shortly. But you see, also today or yesterday, the Greek-Swedish ship was actually sabotaged in the port of Piraeus. The shaft connecting the propeller to the ship was cut. There's definitely an international game of cat and mouse that's going on here. Our boat here has had a complaint lodged against it as well. We do find our paperwork to be completely in order, though, so we were expecting something like this to happen and are well prepared for it from the legal standpoint. On a positive note, one ship set sail from Corsica 2 days ago, and yesterday we learned that the Irish ship set sail as well. So the flotilla is underway. There's word of a Jordanian Arab boat coming through. There was always word of that, but as the Mavi Marmara bowed out of this flotilla, I know that the Jordanians wanted to have a boat as large or bigger than the Mavi, a flagship, if you will, and they're having a bit of trouble putting that together at the last minute, but I'm told that there will be a huge Jordanian boat as well, potentially. So I'm going under the notion that there's still 10 boats, 1,000 plus peace activists from around the world going on this thing. We here on the Canadian boat are, you know, we're not a huge boat, but we do have 50 plus people. And I'm proud to say that we are represented very much internationally here. We have a strong Australian contingent. We have a strong Belgian contingent. We have a strong Danish contingent. We have Turks. We have Americans. We have French Canadians. We have Anglo Canadians. We have First Nations. It's a beautiful thing getting together with these people every day, translating into a number of different languages and just, you know, working together under a common cause.
Tell us about some of your colleagues that are joining you on the Tahrir.
Let me see. They're from all over the country. We have dedicated peace activists. We have Manon Massé and John Grayson, two peace activists at the forefront of gay and lesbian culture. Kevin Nish, survivor from the first Mavi Marmara massacre, who was supposed to be on the Mavi until it bowed out. We have people all over the country. I guess myself representing Halifax, I'm the farthest east, and all the way out to Victoria, Vancouver, lots from Toronto, lots from Montreal, a strong French-Canadian contingent on this boat. So we're really well represented here. We also have Bob Lovelace, a former Ardoc Algonquin chief, spent months in jail protesting uranium mining at Eel Lake. So he's a strong voice.
In preparation for the potential onslaught, for example, like happened on last year's flotilla, what kind of stuff have you folks been doing to prepare for? What kind of reception are you anticipating once you're on the water?
I'm not sure who said it first, but you must always prepare for the worst. That's been quite honestly, for someone who's lived a well-sheltered life in that regard, I'm traveling as a journalist, but also, you know, going through that kind of training has been a very harrowing and very humbling and sometimes a little bit frightening experience. We do have people that have on the ground and on our in our training that have been tear gassed and shot, and hit with percussion grenades and water hoses and skunk juice, and so we're running the gamut of scenarios that might go on. We're well prepared for unfortunately anything that the IDF can and will throw against us, and that as far as we're concerned here on the Tahrir, that's everything. If history has taught us anything, it's don't underestimate the nefarious qualities of the IDF. They'll do anything to get their way and then make up any story to tell you that we incited it or whatever. So unfortunately, we've gone through all kinds of training that has been quite scary at times in terms of how to be shot, essentially, how to be tear gassed. Where do you want to stand or where do you want to be if the IDF should happen to board your boat? We are peaceful, non-violent activists here, so there's only so much we can do against that. We're talking about, where would we best be suited to link limbs and take a beating so that, perhaps it affords our captain a few more minutes at the wheel to, because once they gain control of the wheel, that's the end of our mission. So it's been like, how to see violence being committed against someone right in front of you, how to be stepped on, it's been very, very intense.
What type of aid is on your boat? What are the goods that you folks are bringing to Gaza?
Listen, today we actually had the delivery of $30,000 worth of medication to our boat. That was validated, that was observed, that was recorded with statements by two doctors and a nurse who observed the unpacking and the storing of that medicine on board our boat. So that's $30,000 worth of medicine. Because we are a rather small boat, we opted to take some of the most expensive medicine. And that medicine was requested specifically by Palestinian doctors. And these are things for heart conditions. These are things for psychological issues from living in a war zone for so long. These are issues for lung diseases. These are medications for all manner of conditions that, the medications simply do not exist in Gaza. And that's what we're bringing. And that's been validated, observed by two doctors and a nurse. So that's what's on board our ship. This is a person-to-person endeavor. This is in no way delivering arms. This is in no way delivering anything, to be quite honest, to Hamas. This has nothing to do with Hamas. This has nothing to do with, just as this has nothing to do with the Canadian government. The Canadian government's not willing to do what we're willing to do, so we take it into our own hands to do it. This type of solidarity is important because it addresses a void, because what we see is our own government making statements to the effect that what we're doing is confrontational, is smuggling weapons, is X, Y, and Z. And if you look up what Canada's aid to Gaza is, it's prison building, it's training of security forces, and these are not things that we aboard the Tahrir perceive to be humanitarian aid. So we're filling a gap that a lot of the world is not doing. And by delivering it directly to Gaza, we are refusing to allow the IDF, and we are refusing to allow the government of Israel to play prison warden with 1.6 million people in Gaza. It's not their choice whether or not they choose to deliver, toys or crayons one day and footwear not the next. That's just a bunch of garbage. As far as we're concerned, Gaza is a free state, and we are simply sailing to Gaza.
I will let you go. Thanks so much for your time, Miles.
Yeah, man. It's good to talk to you.
Cheers.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.